I'm talking to Naina Chowan and Rob Ray, who have formed the JC Trust. They're based in Epsom, and the JC Trust was formed in memory of Jayesh Chowan, Naina's husband, who died of glioblastoma, which is a type of brain cancer. Good morning, both of you, and thank you for coming on to Radio Jackie to talk to me. Can you tell me a little bit about the JC Trust for what you're doing with the charity, if you'd like to go into a few details about how the charity was formed and where you're going from here?
Okay, so as you said, my name is Rob. I'm Jay's brother-in-law. The main reason for starting the charity was basically Jay, his approach to life, his attitude to life. He always saw good in people and always wanted to help people. And when Jay passed away, we felt that it was important to capture that legacy, to keep that essence of him alive. It was important for us. But we felt it was important for others as well to benefit from his benevolence and the way he approached life. And we felt it was too great an asset to let slip through our fingers. So we decided to set up the charity, obviously to remember Jay and to honour his memory, keep his name alive for us, but also to do what he would want us to do, which is help other people. An example of that, when we went to the Royal Marsden Hospital, when he was receiving treatment, he asked Naina to go and help somebody he saw in need when he was in need himself of help walking across the car park. When sat in the waiting room, he'd look at other people and he'd be upset that they were there alone, on their own. He said nobody should ever face this on their own. And he would always want us to look at other people and help other people. And he desperately wanted to help more for other people. So that's probably the essence of why I think we set up the charity. Naina, I think, agrees, but...
Totally. I mean, that was the whole essence of Jay. That's how he spent his life. You know, he had the most amazing positive outlook on life. And I think everyone who had the pleasure of knowing Jay would... They were all touched in some shape or form by the way he was, who he was, what he believed in, his values, his whole being. And like Rob said, it was really to keep his legacy alive. And I think that's what Jay would have wanted.
Oh, that's a really wonderful thing. Can you tell me a little bit about Jay's own journey with glioblastoma, like when he was diagnosed and how long it took really to become the end of life for him? And because it's a very, very deadly brain cancer. I know of it well. And there's still the main drug treatment is still a drug that was developed 40, 50 years ago called temozolomide, which was actually discovered in a lab of a university, Aston University, which is where I studied. There doesn't seem to be an awful lot more that's come through in terms of treatment for it. So when was Jay diagnosed and what was his initial symptoms?
Yeah, I mean, I think it was in June 2018. Jay would he just knew something was not right, and he'd come home and he'd say little things like, "It took me ages to do an email today, Naina," or, you know, it just took me ages to write an email, or "I'm just, my thought processes aren't right." I remember him bumping into things, and, you know, and initially he thought it was his eyesight. You know, it never ever had it occurred to us that there was something going on in his head at that stage. He's just cognitive functioning. He was getting slower at things and he was getting agitated. And I think those were the real first symptoms. He didn't have the classic symptoms of, I say classic, there are no classic symptoms, but, you know, people talk about headaches and you think about tumours, you expect to have headaches and seizures. But Jay didn't have any of those. It was just... his vision, his peripheral vision was affected. He was bumping into things, slightly off balance. And his cognitive functioning, he noticed a huge, huge difference. I noticed a difference. And he was getting agitated. He was getting upset. I mean, he was a real hands-on person, Jay, and into anything electronics and gadgety and, you know, quite geeky in terms of electronics and physics. And I remember one day, specifically, one of the main thing that sticks out in my mind was he went up onto the outside onto the roof to put some CCTV cameras together, and sort of he was there for about an hour and a half, and he came in and he broke down, sat down and said, "I don't know what I'm doing, Naina. I don't know what I'm doing." And he was, you know, he was stood there with the wires in his hand, and he was very, very upset, visibly upset, and yeah, it was things like that that we first noticed that something was not quite right. Went to his GP. GP referred him for an eye test. He had various tests done, and they couldn't find anything. And eventually, he was referred to for an MRI scan. July 23rd, 2018, that was the last thing we were ever expecting. We were in A&E and to be told that he had a huge mass on his brain. Rob, I'm going to let you carry on. That's okay.
Thank you just for sharing that, because it's interesting for people to know what the symptoms are, because it would make them aware of going to get help if they had those symptoms. Your bravery and his bravery, all of your bravery, and what you've done is taking his legacy forward by forming the JC Trust. Because it is not a very well-known cancer, and I don't know how much research is going into. Maybe they told you at the margin you're at the best place of whether there are new treatments out for it, or whether it's just one of those cancers, I don't know, that they're just still trying to find something beyond good old temozolomide from such a long time ago.
Can I just say, Jackie, you know, you asked why, how did this all come about? And yes, it was about keeping Jay's legacy alive and about who he was and the essence of him. But also it was exactly that. When we were told, when we were given the devastating news, we had no idea what glioblastoma was. You know, we hadn't heard of it. And yet it is one of the most aggressive brain tumours and the biggest cancer killer of tumours in adults and children under the age of 40. And yeah, we knew nothing about it. Unfortunately, we know a little bit more about it now, but there isn't that awareness out there. And the more people we speak to, the more we realise that people don't know about this cancer, they're not aware of it. And yet, you know, in all the events that we've had, there will always be somebody, won't there, Rob, who has actually thought, actually, I might have known somebody with this because my great aunt passed away with a brain tumour and it was very quick, or somebody else that I know had it, or my dad or granddad. Or so, yeah, one of the reasons is to raise awareness of GBM. So Rob, sorry, you were saying?
It's talk about the treatment of glioblastomas. And when we were talking to Jay's consultant, a wonderful chap, Mr. Welsh, and he basically just detailed the treatment, the surgery, and he said that if GA didn't have surgery, the prognosis was 2 to 3 months. With surgery, it was probably looking at more like, and then he stopped, and he wouldn't elaborate on that because he said it wasn't helpful. But then, of course, you go away and you do all the research yourself, and we found that you were looking at somewhere between 12 and 16 months at that point. It's slightly improved today, but not much. You're still talking in that same kind of bracket. But then you research again and you find that the treatment for brain tumours hasn't progressed at all greatly in the last 30 to 40 years. And it seems to be the poor man of cancers, if you like. Nobody seems to be putting an immense amount of research into it from our perspective. Whether that's true or not, I don't know.
Only 1% of the national spend on cancer research is allocated to this disease, I believe.
Because there's not such great numbers of people diagnosed with glioblastomas in this country in relative terms compared to other cancers. There's 2,200 on average per year diagnosed with glioblastoma in this country. But it is a totally and utterly fatal disease. There are very, very, very few people that get past 5 years, and there are very few people then that progress to 10 years. You're talking less than 1% of people.
I think it's 5% to 5 years and less than 1% beyond that. Yeah, it's unbelievably deadly figures.
It's absolutely petrifying and frightening. And we recognise that in ourselves. But we also recognised it, going back to Jay's thoughts, in other people. What could we do to help other people? So, again, that's why we try to raise awareness. That's one of our primary functions, to go wherever we are invited. And sometimes, you know, we find ourselves in some strange places, giving talks, telling people about glioblastomas. As Naina said, people aren't even aware that they've known someone that's passed away with a glioblastoma. I mean, me personally, I've known two people that have passed away with it, apart from Jay, and one that's got it at the moment. And it is frightening. You look at people's families destroyed literally overnight. In the blink of an eye, your life and the people around you, their lives will change instantly.
I can't imagine what it was like. I mean, you've obviously all lived with Jay through his disease progression. with this knowledge that, you know, there wasn't going to be the end, you really all hoped, you know, you can always hope that it will get better, that something will happen. It's a deadly prognosis to get glioblastoma. But what you've done is very special. And Jay obviously was a special person. I understand from Dana, who's an astrophysicist. You know, you've told me you want to raise awareness and you're trying to help other people. And it's when you raise awareness of a condition, people start coming out of the woodwork and you suddenly realize how many people need help. So with the JC Trust, what are your priorities in terms of helping other people?
Well, at the moment, we look to give grants, financial grants to people to ease some of the financial burden. It's the last thing anybody should be worrying about, paying bills. I think the thing you have to remember, and let's look at the time frame. So if you've got a prognosis, let's say, of 14 months, you don't suddenly get to the end of 14 months as you are and the light switch gets turned off. You are on a progression downhill, and that progression takes all sense of you away. With Jay, it took his ability to think, to communicate, to talk. We believe he was virtually blind at the end. He had a phobia of water. And so your time span of actually positive action to make memories, to communicate with your family is extremely small. And we want people to either take our grant and help pay the bills or make some memories with their family, with their children, with their wives, with their partners, with their parents, whoever it may be, to go and make some wonderful memories and to use that money as they see fit. The time is immensely short. And we always encourage people to fight and to try their best. But we have to be realists as well. And we know that this disease is a very painful disease. Me and Nana call it wicked because it just is. It's absolutely wicked. But for us as a charity, it is about raising awareness. And the reason we raise awareness is because we hope by raising more awareness, people will become involved with us, become involved with other charities that are out there, help with the research. There are other charities that raise money targeted at research, the Ollie Hilsdon charity, again, glioblastoma related, and they target raising money solely to put into the research to find a cure for it, and that's their goal, and we absolutely support them 100% in that. We are a unique charity in the fact that we just deal with glioblastoma patients and give grants out in that regard, just targeted at those individuals. So we're quite unique. And it's about pushing the boundaries for what people can expect out of the disease and trying to relate. We can't give any medical advice. We're not medical experts. We never claim to be, and we never would claim to be. But what we can do and what we do is talk to people about our experiences. So if somebody can relate to Nana, I can't relate to Nana's position because Nana was, you know, Jay's soulmate and partner. But I can relate to her children because I lost my father when I was a young man. So I relate to them and what they're going through. And it's different emotions running through the family. And to this day, our family, 3 years later from Jay's passing, is still deeply affected. And it still guides us in what we do, not just in the charity, but behind the charity, in our own personal lives as well. So it leaves a deep and meaningful scar right across you.
Have you found running the charity has been a help? Because obviously it's focused your own grief into some positivity, talking to other people. You said you give talks. You have to be realistic in the talks. What are the sort of questions people will ask you?
You're right. We have to tread a very fine line between the reality of the situation and the disease, destroying people's hope. And hope is important, we feel. What it's done for us, the type of questions we get is, well, what treatment did you give Jay? What did you try? And we tried everything in desperation. In the end, we were desperate and we tried everything and anything. We would consider everything and anything. And the issue with that is there's a lot of charlatans out there that take or would take money off you. And Nana's role in the whole of this was to support Jay and be there close care and need support. And I did a lot of the research behind the scenes. And the unfortunate realisation is that a lot of people are confused and tricked out there. All the glioblastoma patients that we found, there's a cure in America. We have to raise $60,000 and we can get this person cured. There is no cure. That's the reality of it. But people prey on people that are desperate. But sometimes you have to tell them the truth of the issue. It's not easy telling people, you know, that they're looking down the end of a gun, basically. And it's hard. And the effect it has on us as a charity, well, we can't lie. Me and Nana at times have pulled our hair out, exasperated with the pain and the effort and the anxiety of it all. Even said to the point, is it worth this? What are we doing? Is it worth it? You know, that is a fleeting moment because we're tired, we're exhausted. Because don't forget, when we give a talk about glioblastoma or we're involved in it, it brings back all the emotions, the raw emotions that we've got running through us. So occasionally we have to disengage for 5 minutes, have a cup of tea and then go back to it. Because it is shell shock for us. You know, Jay was an integral part of our family. He was a pivotal part. Jay's role in our family wasn't to be loud and gregarious like me. I mean, I'm a loud person. His role was to grow people, was to look at people, was to take people and see the good in everybody and every situation. And for those that couldn't see it in themselves, he liked to grow that. And I guess we're trying to keep that alive. We're trying to model ourselves on that to some degree. But it is tiring, it is exhausting, but it's still very, very worthwhile. If we can just raise awareness and make a difference for one person, that's fantastic. If we can do it for hundreds of people, fantastic. I mean, how many people realise that, you know, the guy from Wanted, Mr. Parker, how many realise that he died of a glioblastoma? They know he died of a brain tumour, most of them, but do they know it was a glioblastoma?
Actually, it's really interesting you say that. Sorry, Rob, because a lot, you know, even on the media, they mentioned brain tumour quite often and they were referring to,
yeah,
but not necessarily GBM, glioblastoma.
Yeah.
Some did, but not, you know, not always. But, you know, as Rob said, you know, to watch your loved one go through something like this is absolutely heartbreaking and a very, very traumatic experience for everybody involved, let alone the people who were immediately, you know, there by him, you know, by your loved one, watching them day in, day out. And we were very fortunate to have lots of friends and family around us, but it's still a very, very lonely journey. And I think unless you've actually gone through something like this yourself, I don't think anyone can really understand the devastating impact it can have. We don't expect people to understand, you know, but no one should have to go through this alone.
Absolutely not. So what have you done at the Trust so far in terms of what size of grants you hand out? What are the grants? What have people been asking the money for? Is it household bills? Is it, say, to make memories so that they can share, you know, their loved ones' future?
Okay, so at the moment, that this year, we've just gone past our first year of having the Trust established. And in that year, we've set the Trust up, we've become registered, and that takes an immense amount of time and effort to do that. We've sourced the trustees. We now have 7 trustees covering a range of skills. And we've only just recently managed to raise enough funds to put us in a position where we can offer grants. So that's what we've been doing for our first year. As of, it was 2 weeks ago now, we opened the grant process for people. So we've invited applications for grants and we've sent out our first batch of application forms to people and we're waiting for those to come back into us. They've gone out to hospices and in combination with hospitals as well, so that have identified people who are in need. So we're waiting for those to come back in before we actually start giving our grants. Our grants are basically based on the £500 mark of a one-off grant. It's not an immense amount of money. However, it's because we are a small charity, we have to be realistic on who we can help and how many people we can help. So we've set the bar at £500 for now. That will be reassessed later this year. And we're hoping we can raise that bar as high as humanly possible and help more people in a wider geographic area, because at the moment we're restricted to the Surrey and Birmingham areas until we grow the charity.
We want people to come forward. We want people to, you know, take advantage of this grant. If there are people out there who are families out there who are unfortunate enough to be going through the same thing that we've been through, I would ask them to come forward. And the financial impact is huge, and you know, people won't be thinking about it. It's stressful enough. Life is stressful enough when you've been diagnosed with a glioblastoma, you know, not only for the person, but for the people around them, their loved ones. And the last thing you should have to be worrying about is finances. So we want to be able to ease financial, the financial burden, you know, and especially in this particular climate, I think everything, every little bit is going to help. And like we said earlier, you know, whether it's to help towards bills, whether it's to help for transport costs, you know, whether it's to pay for an Uber on the way to the hospital to help with coming back and forth from the hospital, or whether it's used towards a family holiday to make those memories, you know, those last memories with your loved ones. We're not means tested. It's not a means tested grant. We're just saying, look, obviously we'll need to get verification from the medical professionals, but that's all. We want to be able to help people. We want people to come forward. And you know, we know that this is what Jay would have wanted. This is again all about Jay keeping his legacy alive, continuing to do what he always did, which is make a difference.
Thank you. Both of you have been so very brave talking to me, because obviously has sort of open thoughts and feelings that you had during the process. But what you're doing is a really great thing to do. And if you know, we can help you raise awareness of glioblastoma. That's just a little thing. And I wish you all the best with the charity. And I hope you can get the funding that you need to help people, because it's so heartbreaking when you're saying, you know, how much difference a £500 award would mean, like to get an Uber to the hospital. You feel for all these people that actually can't afford to do this, or now with the cost of living crisis, they're worried about, you know, keeping their loved ones warm during their, you know, during when they're suffering, all these sorts of things. So I wish you the best of luck. Do keep in touch with us, and I will point our listeners to the website so they can read about it, the wonderful thing you've done. And yeah, it's been lovely talking to you, absolutely lovely talking to you.
If I could just please say that we also have run support groups once a month, the last Tuesday of every month at Stoneleigh Baptist Church in Stoneleigh. And it's just a really nice space for people who have been through similar experiences, just to come along, and it's just to talk if they want to, you know, there's no pressure there. It's just, you know, for people to know that they're amongst people who have had similar kinds of experiences. Everyone's experiences will be different, but everyone would have felt the same kind of pain, or will be going through the pain. And we don't want people to feel alone. I mean, at the moment, we've got a regular group of people coming along, and it's lovely. We've become friends. We've become like family. And it's just a space for people to come along and feel that they're not alone. So we would encourage people to come along. It's on the last Tuesday of every month at Stoneleigh Baptist Church.
Super. What time is it, Naina?
Between 7:30 and 9.
7:30
tonight. Again, there's information on our website. We update our website regularly with the times and the dates, but it is the last Tuesday of every month.
Thank you so much. Thank you both of you. Thank you, Rob. Thank you, Naina, for coming to talk to me.
You're welcome. Thank you, Jackie.
Thank you. Take care for now. Bye.